Okay, good. Well, welcome. I know there are some visitors with us, so welcome, and hopefully we'll get to see you again. We just started a new series called Guy Talk, Girl Talk. It's not meant for guys to talk about guys or girls talk about girls. Actually, the whole point of the series is that we want to learn how to interact with the opposite sex in a way that honors God. And last week, we started a new series called talking about what does it mean to be a man? Like, what does it mean to genuinely be a man? What does it really mean to be a woman? Because the culture definitely tells us a lot, right? The TV show shows of what a man should look like, or you have some image that this is the type of man I want to grow up to be. Or you're a girl, you're going through the shopping mall, you're thinking, this is the type of woman I want to become. And whatever it is, we look at scripture from the very beginning that God has an intent and purpose for you and I, as He made us, created us for a particular purpose. Not to show off the clothing, how smart we are, but really is to bring glory to God. Because He's the creator. Now, I'm not asking everyone here to buy it, because some of you might not be Christians. And that's okay. But I would challenge you and encourage you to really look through from that lens if there is a creator, and that person created something for a purpose. No one created anything out of the blue for a random reason. Right, people create an airplane for the sake of what? Flying, right? No one created an airplane so that I can drive the airplane in the airport because it goes super fast, right? Like, it doesn't make sense, right? So if there was a creator, if you are created by someone, there must be an intent and purpose for you. And I would argue, as we look at scripture, that intent and purpose is not to make you the best person, but really bring glory, to give God the credit, so that God will come out to be great, because when God becomes great, your life will be blessed. Now, we're going to continue going on the next few weeks talking about guy talk, girl talk, and we're going to talk about decision this week, because life is all about decisions, right? Like, you probably made like 100 decisions today without even knowing. Like, what to wear? Should I put on my clothes? Should I go take a shower before I come to church? Should I comb my hair? What shirt should I put on? And there are tons of decisions you make every single day. Should I go to school tomorrow? Some of you don't have school, but some of you do. There are tons of decisions, thousands of decisions that you make. Some you consciously make, some you don't consciously make. But there are tons of decisions. And so for some decisions are more important than the other. There's a quote, it's not actually from Stephen Covey. If you don't know who he is, he wrote a very, very well-known book called Seven Habits of Effective People, or something like that, right? I forgot the name of the book, but it's very famous. I'm reading it right now. But he didn't come up with the quote. He actually quoted somebody, but no one really knew where it originally came from. But the quote says this: sow a thought, you will reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. All that to say is that one thought, one habit, one decision can lead on to a life of destiny. One decision adding into another decision, the way we make one decision influence another decision. Over time, our life basically is a collection of decisions. Now, on one hand, you're like, oh no, if I make one bad decision, my life is ruined. Like, not necessarily that way either. But there are consequences, there are things that affect us when we make decisions. And particularly when we talk about relationship, guy, girls relationship, not even exclusively dating relationship, just the way we handle, how do we deal with another girl, how do we deal with another guy, between brothers and brothers, between girls and girls, how do we interact, those decisions also affect our lives, potentially can affect your destiny. Imagine, if you chose to date this girl and end up marrying this girl, you are with that girl for the rest of your life. That is a big decision, right? Hopefully you don't make that decision just the same way you think about, should I put on my right socks first or left socks first? Like, hopefully that would take a little bit more intent and thinking and collaboration than just saying, like, I just marry whoever I see. The first girl I see coming through the door, I'm marrying her. Like, that is not a good way of making a decision, right? And today what I want to share with us is this, that there are a process includes four steps that will help you and I that make decisions. Not just to make decisions, but make good decisions. I believe that these four steps would help you to make decisions beyond just relational things, beyond just guy-girl things. But I think it will help you to make decisions for other areas of your life. But exclusively today, we're going to put that, see through the context of a relationship. And the passage that Jed already read for us, we're going to focus mainly from this verse. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Now, if you've been in church long enough, a lot of times people say, oh, just have faith. Right? Like, faith or Jesus seems to be the answer for everything. Like, how am I making this? Just have faith. Like, it sounds really good, but at the end of the day, you don't just have faith. Like, a decision needs to be made. It has to be yes, no, left, right. Like, you have to actually do something in order for a decision to be made. You cannot just sit there and it's like, sure, maybe. Like, maybe is not an answer to a decision, right? And so what we'll see is this. There are four things that we're going to see, but the order of these four steps also matters. So don't just like, after you listen to the sermon, like, oh, there are four things, I just toss it around, whatever, go first, doesn't matter. But actually, the order of the process actually matters a whole lot. Now, let's read the verse together. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Actually, before we read, for some of you who don't know, the book of Proverbs is actually a book about wisdom. So the person who wrote it is by the name King Solomon. He was considered to be the wisest man on the earth. And he wrote down a bunch of sayings. He's one of the major authors for that book. And there are sayings about wisdom. How can we live life in a very wise way? And so it will be important for us to pay attention to a wise man talking about wisdom, right? So let's read that together. Chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path.
So many of you may have heard of this verse, a very famous verse, even among non-believers, quote this verse. And out of this verse, one of the first things we see is this. The first step of making good decision is to ask the who question, not the what question. You're like, what? Don't ask the what question. The who question. See, many times when we think of decisions, we're thinking, what should I do? Right? We're thinking, should I do this? Should I not do this? What are the pros? What are the cons? But as we look at this verse, when we look at this passage from the wise man, Solomon, who is God inspiring him to write this, it tells us something that we should do more before we even ask what to do. We should ask the who question. What is the who question? Here's the who question. It's who are you? We got to ask who we are first. Particularly, who am I in relationship with God? So every decision you make, you need to settle that first question. Who am I? Like, I think you might say, oh, I am, like, my name is Ben. I'm Ben. Like, that's easy. But really, who are you in relationship with God? Because when Solomon wrote this, he wrote this with the assumption that his entire audience who are reading this book are people who believe in God. He wrote it with the assumption that these people know God, the Lord Yahweh, the one true God. He knew that these people reading it believe that God exists, but that God is not just some faraway people, but that they believe that God is sovereign. God is in control of everything. But not only is he in control of everything, he also loves his people. He loves his people so much that he wants the best for these people. Furthermore, he knew that the audience was reading this with the assumption that they believe that they are created by God. Last week we read from Genesis chapter 1, 27, that we were created by God in the image of God. We are made in image of God to reflect who God is, his character. And the people who are reading this, they are making the assumption, they knew, they believed that they represent God in this world. And now here's the thing, when Solomon wrote that, he's reminding them, remember who you are. You are not just some normal Joe, some random person in this world. You are God's children. You are God's people. In fact, a couple of verses before that, he was reminding them, do not forget of God's steadfast love and faithfulness in your life. You are God's children. God is looking out for you. God cares for you. You represent him. You see, who we are always determines what we do. It is so important to know that who we are in the eyes of God. Assuming that you're a believer, assuming you put your faith in Jesus Christ, it is important to know that who you are. to real convince that you are a child of God, not just some normal person living on this earth for whatever reason. You're not an accident. Now, you're seeing this picture. This is a picture of my son's basketball team, which consists of 5 players, meaning that throughout the whole game, they have no substitution. They play the entire game, all 5 of them. The reason why I show this picture is this. Look at the color jersey that they have. It's yellow. See, they play for the yellow team. They play for La Rosa, the yellow team. Who they are determines a lot of what they do on the court, doesn't it? Because if they are wearing a yellow jersey, and my son, Luke, is holding the ball right underneath the basket that he's trying to protect, knowing which team he's on determines a lot of what he should do with that ball and the basket, right? Because while it is so much easier to put the ball in the basket right above his head, but knowing that this is his basket, but that basket over the other side, which is farther, is the basket that they want to score, what would be the right thing to do? To score on his own or go on that side? Go on the other side, right? You see, who you are always determines what you do. That decision was almost pre-made for him that because I am playing for the yellow team, I should score the basket on against the red team. Knowing which team you're on determines a whole lot of the decision that you do. Whole lot of decision that you make. You gotta know which team you're on. If you wanna see a confusion of what people are not knowing which team they're on, just come to one of my son's games. Before the start, they always struggle to know which basket they're going. Or in halftime, when they have to switch sides, they get even more confused. And what almost happened every single game is this. One of the kids will take the ball. They are so eager to score the basket. They want to do what they want to do. And so they don't care which basket it is. As long as they put that ball in the basket, they will be happy. Man, what a great picture for you and I. Many times we don't care what decision we make as long as it's good for me. I don't care which team I'm playing for as long as I can get what I want. You see, knowing who we are determines a whole lot of what we do. Our identity tells us a lot of times what decision we need to make. Because if you know that you are just serving yourself, if you are the God of this world, you are your own God. Think about the decision that you make. I will make everything that caters to me. Everything will benefit me. Everyone should serve me. If your identity is based on this world, if you think that you are a permanent resident in this world, you will do everything possible to live it up. Go party. Buy all that you want, because at the end of the life, there's nothing else anyway. So why not live it up now? But on the other hand, if you are a believer, if you are convinced, if you're settled that you are God's creation, who are made in His image, and you have a purpose to reflect God's glory, and if you know that you are on God's team, but not on Satan's team, then all of a sudden there are a lot of decisions that you know what to do. You have an idea of which team you're playing for. You're not trying to score on your own basket. Knowing who you are is half the battle of making decisions. Here's the question I want to ask each one of you. Who are you? It's easy to just go, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I know God. But so do many people in Jesus' time. Many religious people in Jesus' time claim to be God followed. And yet Jesus said, none of you will enter into the kingdom of God. You might come to church a lot, you might do a lot of good things, you might be the nicest person, but if you never put your faith in Jesus, that means that you have never surrendered your life. You are still living for yourself. Or you're living for your parents, you're living for your family. Unless you have surrendered your life to God and said, I'm living for you, you're my God now. Unless you can really believe that God is your God, Jesus is your God, then perhaps you're not settled in who you really are. And as such, if you don't know who you are, you're going to make decisions based on your identity. And that is the first thing that we need to remember. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Meaning, you belong to God. You belong to the Lord. Do you know that? If you don't know that, you will never trust Him. You will never make decisions for Him on behalf of that identity. So So that's the first thing. You gotta ask the who question before you ask the what question. But here's the continue on, there's the second step. The second step is just check your choices against wisdom, but not wisdom. Okay, all right, that's not a real word, okay, I just made that up, okay. Check, but you see what I mean by that. Check your choices against wisdom, but not wisdom, okay? Now you see, if you live your life, if you know who you are in Jesus Christ, if you truly believe that you are a child of God, would be redeemed by grace through faith, the scripture gives you a term, and you want to live for Him, there's a term for that. It's called the fear of the Lord. Not that you're afraid of God, but that you revere Him, you worship Him, you care, you respect Him. The fear of the Lord, and the scripture in Proverbs says this, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The beginning of wisdom comes when you will receive this thing called wisdom, when you have a proper view of who God is, when you have a proper relationship with God. If you know that God has saved you, God has created you, you start living for Him, you have a healthy sense of respect and worship for God, that's called fear. Fear of the Lord, and it will give you wisdom. Now here's what wisdom is. Wisdom is what God says is true. Wisdom is when we look at the Bible, we believe what the Bible says is true. But not just knowing that it's true, but actually living it out. I used to have a professor in my seminary, Old Testament seminary. His expertise is in wisdom literature and in the scripture. In Proverbs, Psalms, and Ecclesiastes. One of the things he says all the time, he says, is wisdom is skill in living according to the Word of God. So wisdom is not just knowing a whole lot about the Bible. Like some of you grew up in church, you're like, I know everything about the Bible. You name a story, I'll tell you where it is. Wisdom is more than just knowing. Wisdom comes on the basis of wisdom is the Word of God. But it is what you do with the Word of God. The Bible says, do not lie, do not steal, do not deceive one another. Don't lie to one another. Yeah, I know that. Wisdom says, go do it. Wisdom says, when you take the test, when your friend is next to you, have the answers that you're stuck on, all you needed to do is just take a quick peek over there. The decision is there. But are you going to live by wisdom or are you going to live by wisdom? Wisdom is what you say is true, what I say is true, what I want it to be true. What I say would be true is what no one else would know. Going back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here's the definition. And lean not on your own understanding. The choices that you make, are you leaning on your own understanding? Are you leaning on what you think is true? Are you leaning on what you want it to be true? That's what we like to do. And what happened is many times we make decisions in a hurry. Just do whatever our hearts want to do. And ended up regretting because at the moment it just feels so right. Right? Many times we make decisions, oh, it feels so right at the time, let's just do it. Now let me show you a video. What happens when you do that? By the way, most of these videos I found are all guys. I don't know why. There's no correlation. I'm sure there's no correlation whatsoever. Right? But somehow when guys get, oh, so cool, let's just do it. Next thing you know, you're on a video like this. Right? We oftentimes make decisions according to what we feel like is true. So we start living by wisdom, and then we ended up being on videos like these and look really, really dumb. Right? I think scripture has something to say about our hearts. Even as Christians, there's something about our hearts that's very tricky. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 says this. Above all else, guard your heart. For everything you do flows from it. Why do you think the Bible says you need to guard your heart? Because it can easily wander. Why do we need to guard the best player in the basketball team? Why do we need to play the best defense on the football field? Because that player is good. It will run away from you if you don't guard him. Same thing with your heart and my heart. If you're not careful with your heart, if you just go whatever my heart says is true, if you just rely on wisdom, whatever you think is true, instead of God's wisdom that He says is true, then we will always make the wrong decision. Let me give you a kind of tied in a little bit with what we're talking about, guy girl stuff. Let's assume that you're dating, things are getting serious. You guys are getting kind of intimate physically. You know, maybe you're not having sexual intercourse, but things are getting, you know, you know in your heart that things are getting crossing the boundaries that you should not cross. And in your mind, on the outside, you're going through your heart, you're like, man, they feel so right. Maybe you're feeling like, man, this is how we show real love to one another. Maybe this is how we just fought last week with my boyfriend. This is how I'm going to solve my argument with him. Maybe you feel like on the outside, you feel like, man, maybe this way he or she would love me more. We just get involved physically. We just get involved sexually. Maybe our relationship would get better depth. See, on the outside, all of these feel so right. All of these, you know, you might be thinking, oh, that sounds so dumb. Like, get a dollar for every person who actually acted upon these motives, these thoughts, man, I'll be so rich right now. And if we're honest, if you ever got close to a girl, you probably have some of these feelings before. See, on the outside, these looks like wisdom. These looks like it's true, it's real. But the problem is, many times, we only see what's on the outside, don't we? Like, there can be many things inside that we're not looking at. Like, for example, what if we broke up? I don't know. Like, I'm sure a high school relationship lasts forever. Like, junior high relationship definitely lasts a lifetime. Like, I've seen all these relationships end up getting married, right? Why are you laughing? It's true. Right? Well, what if you guys broke up and you start feeling guilty? Like, man, I just wasted my purity on this guy that's a jerk. Or what if you start regretting it? Like, why did I do this for this guy? Or what should I say to my future spouse? What if I end up getting married to a really, really nice guy? What should I tell? Or should I not? Like, there are many, many things. And what should I tell my parents? What if you got pregnant? What if the girl that you're sleeping with, she got pregnant and you're high school? Or college, for that matter. See, many times we just live by what looks nice on the outside. We start checking our choices based on our own wisdom. But we're not looking into the Word of God and see what does the Word of God says. Let me give you some examples. I get this all the time. Dating people, couples, even young adults. How far should we go physically? You know, you will not find an answer in the scripture that says, you should touch her elbow after 3 months of dating. Touch her face after 4 months. Kiss her after 5. Like, you will not find it. But here's the thing. The scriptures is very clear about relationship. Here's what it says. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Meaning you are set apart as God's people. Going back to the identity question. Because you are God's people, you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. So for one person, it might be one thing. For another person, I don't know, but the bottom line is this. Are you controlling your body? Are you living out of passional lust? See, every person will be, every couple will be different. But the bottom line is, are you setting your side apart to be holy before God between you and that person? Another question people ask is, should I date this person? You are not going to see the crush that you have to name in the Bible. Unless like Joseph, Sean, Mary, Esther. But here's what it says, Matthew chapter 5:28. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman lustfully had already committed adultery. Meaning, if you like that girl, you want to date that girl because because she looks cute. The answer is no, don't date her. Because you already look at her lustfully. That is not a right choice. That is not a good decision. Because the scripture already answered for you.
Now here's the thing, how much time should we spend together as we're dating?
One day, one night, two nights. We should go study together.
Hear that a lot from high school students.
Let's study together.
So here 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, let all things be done for building up. Are your relationship really building up the other person?
Is your relationship with that, not even dating relationship, is your interaction with another boy, another girl, is it really building up that person? Or are you tempting that person? Maybe you think it's a funny joke, maybe you don't think it's flirting, but then you might stumble another person thinking that you're giving extra attention to that girl, extra attention to that boy. Are you building that person up? See, the scripture doesn't say exactly what you need to do, but scripture has a lot to say about your attitude, a lot of wisdom about that you need to live by, more than what we feel like to do. So that's the second one. So the first one is what? We need to ask what question? The who question, not the what question, right? Second one is what? Second step is check our choices on what? I guess what? Wisdom, not what? No, wisdom, right? Because we all tend to go to what we like to do. Moving to the third step, before I go to the third step, I think one of the things we tend to do a lot of times is this. We tend to make our lives about our lives. We as Westerners, we as Western Christians even, like to make personal decisions. Because we feel that my life, since it's my life, I should make the decision. My parents shouldn't be involved. My friends shouldn't be involved. Because my life is my decision. But here's what we see. Proverbs 18:1 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. But he breaks out against all sound judgment. If you isolate yourself in all the decisions that you make, the likelihood of you making a wrong decision is very high. Which leads to the third step is, not only do we need to ask a who question instead of a what question, not only do we need to look to God's script, God's word, look for wisdom. Third one is this, we need to seek the counsel of others, not remain in isolation. Seek the counsel of other people, not remain in isolation. Not thinking that I need to be the one who make all of my own decisions. You go back to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. There are many ways to acknowledge God in your decision making. Prayer is one of them. Looking at scripture is one of them. I'm not saying that seeking the counsel of others is the only way to acknowledge God, but it is one of the ways that we can, and in fact, probably one that very few of us, including myself, like to do. Why do you think that is? Why do you think we don't like to seek counsel from other people? Anyone? What? What if they say no? What if they go against your decision?
Is that bad friends?
Maybe you get bad friends, maybe they encourage you to do the wrong thing. Right? You seek the counsel of other people, that might be a wrong thing. But here's the thing. So when we think of faith, when if you're a Christian, when you think about your life, God has saved you not only in isolation, God has saved you into the family of God. Your faith is never, it's never a private thing. We like to think our faith is a private thing. It's my walk with Jesus. I don't need other people's input. See, your faith is a personal faith, but it's never private. When you walk with Jesus, you're walking along with everybody in the church, that the whole family that God has given you as a gift, that there's other people walking alongside with you. There are more than these three verses. I just chose three for you to listen. Well, why we need other people's involved in your life, in their decision that you make. Proverbs chapter 11, 14 says this. When there is no guidance, a people falls. But in an abundance of counselors, there's safety. So you need people to look out for your blind spot. I need someone to look out for my blind spots. Because we oftentimes think that we cover all the bases. We can see through every decision, shortcomings in our own life. But you and I both know, if we're honest, there are many spots that we're not seeing. Somebody else can easily point it out to us, and which we don't like other people to point out to us. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. When you listen to other people, people give you input. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. Do you know that every Fortune 500 company
that you can think of. All have an advisory board. Why? These are people who are making millions and billions of dollars. Why do they need a board of people telling them, helping them to think through the different directions? It's because no one person gets to see the whole picture. And that includes you and me as well. If people are making millions and billions of dollars, need other people helping, how much more do you and I need other people helping in our decision making? I want to suggest to us three groups of people that you need. Three groups of people that I need. Three groups of people that everyone needs in our decision making. First one is this. Family and those who are close to you. And that includes those who are not Christians. If you're a Christian, you're like, well, I shouldn't listen to non-Christians. Like, no. Your family and those around you, they know you best. They know how you normally make decisions. Just ask your parents. They know exactly how you're going to make your decisions. If you're an emotional person, they will know. Your parents will tell you. Before the sentence finished, you already made the decisions. Some of you might be very deliberate. You never make a decision. Your parents know that you need people around you most to tell you how you make decisions and challenge the decisions that you're making. But the only family and those around you most. Second one is you need Christians who have demonstrated wisdom in the area you're struggling with. Maybe you're making a decision about dating. Maybe you're making a decision about who you are as a person. You're struggling with your own sexuality. You need people who have gone through that struggle and come alongside with you, someone who's a couple steps ahead of you, to answer some of the questions you have. Like, it would not be helpful for me to ask someone about parenting if they've never parented, they never have a kid themselves. You know, they probably have some knowledge, have some insight into it, but they've never had one.
They have zero experience.
So we need believers who have gone through a few steps ahead of us that can help us in those areas. Last group is leaders that God has put in your life. Most of you guys are here in youth. There's a reason. I believe and I pray that all the leaders that we have in this church are here to serve you. They are not here to pick out, to go against every decision that you want to make. They are here to serve you. They're here to love you. So whatever decision you need to make, particularly important decisions that you need to make, even after you answer the who question, even after you look through the scripture and what the Bible has to say, now when it comes to finally making a decision, you need to bounce those ideas, decisions through against the leaders that you have in your life, your small group leaders, your pastors, some of the deacons that we have in this church. They will love to help you and come alongside with you. Do not make a final decision on anything without consulting other people, seeking counsel from other people. The Bible says that's foolish. Foolish. Now here's the fourth one. So we talked about the first one is ask the who, not the what. Second one is live by wisdom, but not by wisdom, what we like to do. Third one is seek the counsel of others. The fourth step is this. Now, as you have gone through all three of those things, you have a pretty good idea what you would like to do, what you want to do. The fourth step is this. Do what you want, and do it by faith. And most of you are thinking, do what you want. That sounds so unspiritual. Like, you're the pastor. How can you say, just do what you want? Like, it would be unspiritual if you didn't go through the first three steps. But it will be awfully spiritual because God gives us freedom. God doesn't just dictate and write out your life and say, make sure Ben does this step. God gives us freedom in making a lot of decisions. God doesn't say that you have to go to Harvard. God doesn't say you have to go to Cal State LA. Like, there's a lot of freedom in decision making if you have gone through the first three steps. If you know, if you put yourself under the authority of God's word, put your decision under the authority of God, put your decision under the authority of others, there's a freedom that you can make decisions to choose whatever you want to do, what jobs you want to have. If you have gone through those three steps, what kind of clothes you want to wear, what kind of clothes you want to buy, what kind of cars you want to buy, the person that you're going to get married to. You see, do what you want after you've gone through those three steps means that you already check it through with God and seeking counsel. And so now God gives you the freedom as a gift of love that you get to choose what you would like to do. But here's the problem. A lot of times people get paralyzed by choices. I don't know if you're that type of people. Sometimes when you have too many choices, you end up not making any decisions. You end up not doing anything. You just sit there and thinking, I just need other people to make decisions for me. But God said, no, you have the freedom to make that decision. And here's the most important part, the last part that verse says, and he will make straight your paths. Meaning that after you've gone through the first three steps, now you can do what you want by faith, knowing that God will be with you. Knowing that your decision, is after you check it with God, check it with scripture, check it with spiritual people in your life, now things, you can choose what you want, but now God is also will be with you as you choose what to do. He's alongside with you. But one of the things that I find awfully hard for myself, perhaps for you, is this. We fear that if we make one decision, I'm going to miss out on other stuff. Right? If I go choose to go to this school, I'm not going to be able to go to that school. If I choose to date this girl, I don't get to date all the other girls. Right? Don't laugh, I know it's true. Right? So here's the thing. You guys all know what FOMO means? Anyone know? Fear of what? Missing out. See, a lot of us are fear of missing out. If we make decisions, what if there are better things that come along? But the Bible tells us that in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, that he will make your path. If you walk in with God, walk in with the scripture, walk with the people around you who give you good counsel according to scripture, there is no fear of missing out because whatever you chose is what is best for you. So instead of fearing of missing out, we should turn that into joy of missing out. Maybe it is good that you miss out on some of those things. I'll give you an example. It is a good thing that I miss out on all the other girls because I'm married to Hannah, my wife. Right? You can always make a decision to, oh man, what if I miss out on all these other stuff? But actually, when you trust God and do what you want to do according to what the process of being faithful to God and His Word and His people, you have the freedom to choose, and God is on your side and walking it through with you. And it is a good thing that you chose what you chose. Because if you go to UCLA, you don't get to go to USC. It is a good thing. Not that there's anything wrong with USC, okay? Right, you can go to Cal State LA or go to PCC and not go to other school. And it will be a good thing because God is with you. You are doing it by faith. That's the most important thing, that we are doing it in honor of God and reflecting God's glory. See, our decisions don't ultimately dictate what comes into our lives. God does. You might feel like, I'm going to make this decision and miss all these things. Guess what? God is in control of all of it. So while you might feel like you miss out on something, actually it turns out to be a blessing that you actually go through this path and God is with you. Let me add on this. I was looking through some pictures. I thought I would show this. The younger version of me. This is almost nine years ago, when my wife and I, Hannah, got married. I share this with you because I personally walked through this process. What I've shared with you is not just about dating, it's not just about marriage, but I use this example because people ask me for counsel, like, should I get married? They're dating, whatever. Should I get married? Like, is this person the one? Like, you hear people like, oh, this girl is the one. I have to marry this one, right? Like, that's something that I wrestle with a lot. And so I walk through this process. I have to ask myself the who question before the what. It's not the question of, should I marry Hannah? The question is, who am I in Christ? Like, am I a child of God? And am I really loved by God that I don't need to marry someone to find identity? That I don't need Hannah to complete my life because Christ completed my life. I needed to know that. That was the first thing I needed to really check in my heart. It's like, does marriage fulfill me or marriage is something out of the fulfillment of Christ? Now, I'm in the right place to ask, should I marry her? And that's the next step. Now, I look at scripture, what is marriage about? Like, is marriage just about getting a wife? Is marriage just about having someone to keep me company? To heal my loneliness? Is a wife just going to help me cook clean at home? Like, what is marriage for? I need to look through scripture and ask those questions. What is the purpose of marriage and why do I want it? Why do I want a part of it? And that was the second thing I needed to do. And thirdly, I need to talk to my friends. I need to talk to people who are my leaders and ask them, would it be a wise thing for me to get married now? I talked to my pastor, I talked to some of my friends. Would Hannah be the right person that I'm marrying to? Like, is she really good? Am I good? Are we compatible? I seek the counsel of many others. And finally, when we decide, when all three of those things that we walk through, then I made it, yes, I think now is the time that we should get married. Of course, she needed to say yes too. Right? Like, I can feel all I want that this is a good decision. If I seek her counsel, she's like, no, I don't think now, I don't think I should marry you. That's a no deal right there. Right? And so as we walk through that, even at the third step, I can still say, no, I don't want to get married again. I can live out of that fear of missing out. So what if there's another girl better come along? But here's the thing, I need to take a step of faith in that Hannah is the woman that God intended for me to marry. And I need to take that step of faith and walk and get married and fully realize that for the rest of our lives, we're joined as one together, as the scripture put together, as the scripture said. So here's a question I want to ask you guys. Whatever decision, particularly with relationship question that you have, I know some of you are younger, you're not thinking, oh, I don't want to look at a girl. I don't want to sit next to them. Yeah, exactly, right? And some of you, if you're in your heart, you know you're thinking about these things. And I share this with you today because one day you will have to make decisions. Sooner or later you will. If not relationship decision, you need to make decisions about life. Life is about decisions. And I hope that this will serve you well, that it will help you to make godly decisions that best reflect Christ. And for those of you who are not believers, you're like, this is junk. I don't really need this with me. And you will be true. Because if you don't really have Christ in your life, you don't really need to subscribe to in a way that make decisions that reflect Christ. But I would encourage you to consider something. That the reason why we need Christ and we want to honor Christ is because when you have Christ in your life, He gave you the best thing in your life. You might live for your own good, you live for your own pleasure, you might live for your own glory, you will live it up in this life, everyone will see you as success, and ultimately one day you will find only what Christ has given you will fully satisfy you. I can guarantee you that, not because it's my word, but because it's Scripture's word. The Bible says that only Jesus, He's the way and the life. He's the only one that can satisfy you. And I want to encourage you, if you want to be fully satisfied, look to Jesus. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for this afternoon, that we can look into your word and learn how to make decisions. Lord, we know that many times it's hard to make decisions because we, even though many times we know what is right, we don't want to do what is right. But Lord, I pray that for those of us who are believers, that your Holy Spirit will continue to impress upon our hearts to do, to obey you, to know that you have our best interests in mind. And Lord, continue to help us to open ourselves up to the community of faith, the body of Christ, to speak into our lives so that we don't have to walk through this on our own. Heavenly Father, we pray that whatever decision that we need to make, Lord, help us to know that, to help us to look to your scripture, help us to be convicted of who we are in you. And for those who don't know you today, Lord, I pray that they will come to know you one day and realize that that you have the best in mind, that you want to give them the best, things that will last beyond this world, that you want to give them eternal life with eternal love and eternal blessings. So Father, be with us as we end our worship service, Lord. That these things will continue on for the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.